जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाबा अग्रवर धारी गोपी जन बाबा अग्रवर धारी चोरानंदन व्रज जन रंजन चोरानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीर यमुन तीर भानचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा
Om Vishnu Pad, Padabhamsa, Parabraja, Gacharas, Sathira, Siddha, Shri, Shunas, Vyan, Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Ki. Iskand Founder, Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti, Rindu, Ki Jai. Gaur, Tivananda. All glorious to the symbol of devotees. All glorious to the symbol of devotees. All glorious to the symbol of devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Sathya, 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 Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this week, of course, we're having the Festival of the Holy Name, which is very, very wonderful after a couple years' absence at having it back live in person. So I thought it appropriate to talk about the Holy Name and the glories and power of the Holy Name today. I think just while we enjoy the happiness and bliss of chanting, very wonderful experience when we're in kirtan, of course, the actual effect of chanting is even more deep and more profound than even what we may be experiencing. The chanting purifies the consciousness and frees us of all material desires and invokes our spiritual life. So I was going to start with a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Verse 7. Ayam hi krita nirveshu janma kotyangha sabhati yad vichahara virasho namo svasyayanam hare. Achamil had already atoned for all of his sinful actions. Indeed, he had atoned not only for sins performed in one life, but for those performed in millions of lives. For in a helpless condition, he chanted the holy name of Narayan. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offense. And therefore, he is now pure and eligible for liberation. Of course, this is a verse spoken by the Yamadutas, to the Yamadutas from the Vishnudutas, explaining the power of the holy name and how Ajamil, although he even just accidentally or not consciously chanted the name of Narayan because it was actually the name of his son. He was calling out in distress at the time of death for his son's name. But because he had had the good fortune and foresight to name his son Narayan, he got the full benefit of the chanting of the holy name. So make sure you all name your children names of Krishna, in case you're attached to them at the time of death. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Yamadutas had considered only the external situation of Ajamil. Since he was extremely sinful throughout his life, they thought he should be taken to Yamaraj and did not know that he'd become free from the reactions of all of his sins. The Vishnudutas therefore instructed that because he had chanted the four syllables of the name Narayana at the time of death, he was free from all sinful reactions. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following verses from the Smriti Shastra. I'll just read the English as a few of you. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord Hari, by one chanting of the holy name of Hari, a sinful man can counteract the reactions to more sins than he's able to commit, from the Brihad Vishnu Purana. And from the Garuda Purana, if one chants the holy name of the Lord, even in a helpless condition, or without desiring to do so, all the reactions of his sinful life depart. Just as when a lion roars, all the animals flee in fear. And from the Skanda Purana, by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, which consists of the two syllables Hari, one is guaranteed the path to liberation. These are some of the reasons why the Vishnudutas objected to the Yamadutas taking Ajamil to the court of the Yamaraj. When Srila Prabhupada came to America in 1965-66, he encountered a culture, particularly in those who were attracted to his movement, many of the young people at the time, very much addicted to drugs, to illicit sex, to so many what would be considered sinful activities. So the people seemed very, very degraded, I'm sure, from Srila Prabhupada's vantage point, coming from a very strict devotional culture, coming from, you know, obviously born in the late 1800s in a strict Hindu Vaishnava family, and only being in that part of the world, and coming to America, where everything was free and open and hippies and drugs and like this. So it was quite astounding to him, but surprisingly, these same people became his disciples, became his followers. So once a reporter asked Prabhupada if he could perform miracles. That was a big thing sometimes with yogis, and you know, that he could perform some miracle. Prabhupada pointed to his disciples and said, "This is my miracle, that he turned these hippies into Vaishnava devotees of the Lord." So this is the power of the bona fide spiritual master, the Acharya, when he comes, and also the process that Srila Prabhupada taught. Obviously, Prabhupada taught a process or a path of self-realization, the process of sadhana bhakti, and he was following the instructions of the whole parampara, the whole line of acharyas, of past gurus and spiritual masters, his spiritual master back all the way to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came 500 years ago and propagated the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the holy name, and all the way back to, we're reading now, stories from the Bhagavatam, which was put in written form 5,000 years ago, and is actually talking about sometimes incidents that happened millions of years ago in far different ages, even in different planets, and even then, the glories of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the names of the Lord, is extolled, glorified so strongly. Now, part of the reason, of course, is that the instruction to chant the Harinam Sankirtan, the Sankirtan Jagge, because this is the process of self-realization for this age of Kali. Of course, this is the most fallen age, the most difficult age, when other processes of meditation are very difficult for people. Very difficult to meditate, to sit silently, as great yogis did in the past. But this age is particularly given for us, those of us with shorter memories, not so much attention span, not so much powers of austerity. So it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, chapter 3, verse 51, "My dear king, although Kali Yuga, that's the age we're in now, is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. It's simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dwarpa Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, Srimad Bhagavatam thousands of years ago foretold, of course, the coming of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the importance of chanting in this age. So there are two effects that are actually mentioned here. One is the clearing of all the material consciousness, of past sinful activities, all of those things in the heart that we are burdened with. And simultaneously, we are developing and increasing our love of God. So it's not just negative, it's extremely positive and pleasing practice. So this power of purification, holy name, was explained in the story of Ajamil, as we're talking about. And the way that the story in the Srimad Bhagavatam began, the sixth canto, those of you who have read the Bhagavatam know that the fifth canto ends with, anybody remember what the last chapter is of the fifth canto? What are they discussing? The hellish planets, right? And you know, it sounds horrible. Smarsh Prick is listening to all this, says, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to all these people? You know, there's all this, you know, there actually is this hellish situation awaiting for people in their next life. So that's when, the beginning of the sixth canto, Shukadeva Goswami tells the story over the first three chapters of the sixth canto of Ajamil, and which has great praise of the power of the holy name and its ability to eradicate all reactions, no matter how sinful a person is, no matter what their difficulties, whatever problems one is having, whatever situation one finds oneself in, there's that incredible power of the holy name, which is non-different than Krishna himself, is there. And of course, it always has this power, but in Kali Yuga, in this age, it's particularly recommended and has particular strength. So, Maharaj Purukkot began the discussion by saying, even if one atones for sinful actions, it's a process called prayaschitta, says it doesn't really help, because one just immediately does it again. You know, Prabhupada sometimes, you know, said they have this practice sometimes in Christianity of going to confession, and you know, so he said it's sin and confess, sin and confess. You know, just kind of a constant process. That's not the idea. The idea is confess and don't sin anymore. You know, even Jesus said that, didn't he? He said, go and sin no more, was the idea. Not that one just continually keeps up the same activity. But it's very, very difficult for people. And especially for us, there's so much attraction in this material world, and particularly in our present age. So people's minds are just constantly disturbed by so many things. So the Bhagavatam later on, a few verses later, the Vishnu Duta said, although when we neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. So that's the root problem. We have so many material desires, we have so many ways that we want to try to enjoy in this material world, you know, and so we become forgetful of God, we become forgetful of spiritual life. You know, that's the main problem with material activity. Even in the mode of goodness, even if one is leading a good life and you know, things are going well for them, there's every opportunity to totally forget the purpose of life, to forget God, to forget our relationship with Krishna. That's more or less the nature of this material world. So when we're chanting, we need to chant with intention. Actually, in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami makes this point. He's telling the story of Gopal as he goes through the different phases. He says he talks about this chanting with intention. Now, not intention like I'm going to chant hard so I'll get that promotion or make some money. No, spiritual intention to make advancement in spiritual life. You know, in other words, have a spiritual goal that one is going for. And as we do this with this intention, mainly we want to increase our purity of chanting. Now, that doesn't happen all at once. It's a process. Sadhana is a path. It's a progression. It means that through the practice of Krishna consciousness, we become more and more purified, we become more and more attached to Krishna, more and more understanding the identity of Krishna and his holy name. So in that chanting, it's described different places, especially in the story by Haridas Thakur, how there's different stages of chanting. The first one is called Nam Aparad, where there's still some faults, there's still some offenses, one's still, you know, you know, it's kind of like stumbling a little bit, get back on the path, that kind of thing. Then the second stage is called Namabhasa, which is called the clearing stage, or sometimes it's called Abhasa Rupa stage. It's called clearing, for when it's starting to get rid of those, you know, negative things, negative material conditionings, and starting to become purified, and starting to have some affinity for Krishna, attraction for the holy name. And finally, there's the stage called Shuddhanam, or pure chanting. Now, even in this beginning stage of Namabhasa or Bhasa Rupa, there's great power. And this is what Haridas Thakur, who is called the Namacharya of the holy name, the one who is the exemplar of chanting, he actually chanted 300,000 names a day, which is 192 rounds, which if you are really good and steady, only takes you about 20 hours a day. So that's basically his entire life, his entire day, chanting day and night. So he said that even, of course, he was at the highest stage of chanting, but he said even at the beginning stages of Namabhasa, he said there's actually immediate liberation from this material world. He said, thus worship the Lord whose name is like the sun, for just as a slight appearance of the sun dissipates the darkness of night, so a slight appearance of the holy name of Krishna can drive away the darkness of ignorance that rises in the heart due to grateful sinful activities performed in previous lives. Even a faint light from the holy name of the Lord can eradicate all reactions. And Srila Prabhupada describes this Abhasa Rupa stage or Abhasa Rupa Bhakti, where, and he said it's compared to twilight. Accumulations of sinful activities compared to fog. Since fog does not spread throughout the sky, the sun may do no more than merely manifest its first rays, and the fog immediately disappears. Right? We've all seen it. You know, early in the morning, it's very foggy, many days here in Florida. As soon as the sun comes out, it starts to disappear. The Prabhupada says, similarly, if one has even a slight relationship with devotional service, all the fog of his material life is immediately vanquished. So this metaphor, is, I think, is very good because it's sort of, we feel this fog of material consciousness, material life, and it just becomes dissipated by the sun of Krishna's devotional service. So even when we begin chanting, there's this great benefit. And so that is the primary instruction to the Prabhupada, our acharyas, our line of parampara, all of our scriptures, to purify the heart and develop love of Krishna through chanting. That Rupa Goswami, of course, talks about in the Nectar of Devotion, 64 principles of devotional service. Of these, he says five are most important, and of those of which, of course, kirtan, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, deity worship, associating with devotees, and living in a holy place. Because of all of these, chanting is the best process. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, among the angas of bhakti, which is ascertained as king. This verse answers, chanting the name of the Lord is the principal method. Among all angas and parts, you know, the chief ones are hearing, chanting, and remembering. Among these three, chanting is the chief. Among the different types of chanting, glorifying the names, pastimes, and the qualities of the Lord, chanting of the name of the Lord is supreme. So this is really the verdict, you know, of all the Vaishnavacharyas. And obviously, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the spiritual sound vibration is what awakens this natural Krishna consciousness within everyone. It's not a material sound vibration. It actually is purely spiritual. And we can also think of that chanting of Hare Krishna as a prayer to the Lord. Prabhupada explained that. He said it's like a petition to the Lord. It invokes good fortune. It's a request for Krishna's blessings on us. In fact, says, the name of the Lord fulfills all desires like Chintamani. It's the very form of Krishna. It is full of consciousness and rasa. It is complete, pure, and eternally liberated. This is because of the non-difference of the name in Krishna. So since we are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and the names of Krishna are non-identical, are identical with him, and we are really trying to connect with Krishna, connect with God through his name. And the prayer that we have is one for devotional service. We are in that mood of requesting Krishna to please engage us in his service. The Srila Prabhupada says in a purport to Majjhalila, 22:16. When we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are saying, Hooray, O energy of the Lord, O my Lord Krishna. In this way, we are simply addressing the Lord and His spiritual potency, represented as Radha Krishna, Sitaram, or Lakshmi Narayan. The devotees always pray to the Lord and His internal energy, His consort, so that He may engage in their transcendental loving service. When the conditioned soul attains his real spiritual energy and fully surrenders unto the Lord's lotus feet, he tries to engage in the Lord's service, because this is the real constitutional position of the living entity. So very, very nice report by Srila Prabhupada, saying how our prayer should be to engage in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. And I think that's one, at least what I try to, you know, when I remember to try to have some intention in my chanting, which is infrequent, but at those times that I do try to be a little bit attentive, I try to think of that, you know, to try to somehow or another engage me in Radha Krishna's devotional service, bring me to their lotus feet. Because that's really the almost the literal translation of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right? So it situates us in our eternal position. This is our eternal position, in our loving relationship with Krishna in devotional service. So we recognize, we pray for that relationship. We're associating directly with Krishna through His name. So although we understand the great power in the holy name to eradicate sinful activity, to liberate us from this material world, to purify us, to clean the heart of all these things, that's not really our main motivation. Those are almost secondary. The main motivation is to become attracted to Krishna, to love Krishna, to engage in His devotional service. But only when we become purified are we able to do that fully. So the two go together. The two work together fully. So the effects of hearing and chanting the holy names, the spiritual sound vibration, are that it gives transcendental knowledge of the spiritual nature, not just the body, that we are the spirit soul within. Realized knowledge comes about through bhakti, through devotional service. Then the mind and the intelligence become convinced. And as we become convinced, our faith becomes stronger. Our faith grows. And then when we have stronger faith in Krishna and His holy name and His presence in our life, then our attraction to material life decreases. Then the mind's becoming purified. Our attachments are becoming lessened. We become more and more attracted to Krishna. We become attracted to His devotional service. And that dormant, loving relationship, which is always there within us, becomes activated. It develops automatically. All of this comes about through the process of hearing, chanting, remembering the holy names of the Lord. Now, we can't really understand this materially, but our spiritual nature is being revived. And we understand as we feel this within the heart. As the heart becomes purified, the heart understands who we really are and what our relationship with God is. And that becomes a very transformative experience. It's the real change. You know, we even have this chapter entitled The Change of Heart, right, in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto. So it's the change of heart. That means the change from thinking materially, I am this body, and the purpose of life is to try to enjoy whatever I can, to, no, I'm the soul. I'm the Atma, the Jiva. And my purpose in life is to realize that, but not just realize I'm spirit, but realize I am part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm the eternal servant of God. And my eternal position is one of loving devotional service in relationship, in rasa, with Krishna. So that's becoming revived. Our whole consciousness is becoming revived. The whole, our whole actual being, who we are, is becoming remembered. One of the, I've also one of Srila Prabhupada's really great lectures. You know, some of you old timers remember the Krishna Meditation record album. It's still around, I'm sure. Right? Prabhupada, in the middle of it, he's singing all these bhajans, then he gives a lecture. And this is just a little part of it. I thought this was just a beautiful lecture. I always remember it. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. I always remember that. Some of you remember that first line? This consciousness is the original energy of the living entity. When we hear the transcendental vibration, this consciousness is revived, and the process is recommended by the authorities for this age. By practical experience also, we can perceive that by chanting this Maha Mantra, or great chanting for deliverance, one can at once feel transcendental ecstasy from the spiritual stratum. When one factually is on the plane of spiritual understanding, surpassing the stages of senses, mind, and intelligence, one is situated on the transcendental plane. This chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is directly enacted from the spiritual platform, surpassing all lower states of consciousness, namely sensual, mental, and intellectual. There is no need of understanding the language of the mantra, nor is there any need of mental speculation, nor any intellectual adjustment for chanting this Maha Mantra. It springs automatically from the spiritual platform. And as such, anyone can take part of this transcendental sound vibration of any previous qualification and dance in ecstasy. So through this chanting, we develop our loving relationship with Krishna. Now we know that everyone is looking for loving relationships. So why would our spiritual life be different? You know, in other words, what everybody wants is material life, basically is love, right? Or having relationships. So sometimes people think, well, spiritual life means none of that. You're just sort of in some, you know, floating in some white light or something. why would God not want to have wonderful loving relationships? And that's what everybody hankers for, of course. But they're there perfectly, without the flaws that we see in this material world. Because everyone's looking for the soulmate, a perfect love, someone will complete them. We want a perfect friend, we want a perfect parent, a perfect child. But inevitably there's disappointment for that partner or friend or parent, because we're all flawed. You know, we tend to, you know, so people get disappointed. Because perfection is really only there in the spiritual world. In Goloka Vrindavan, the abode of Krishna, or when he exhibits those same pastimes on the earthly planet, just when Krishna's in Vrindavan, India, 5,000 years ago, that is non-different than Goloka. So Krishna's pastimes and relationships demonstrate perfect relationships. We know that Prabhupada often say Krishna's never alone. You don't see pictures of Krishna just alone, like sitting on the throne or something. You know, I mean, even if you see Lord Narayan sitting on the throne, he's got Lakshmi with him. He's got, anyway, all his devotees are around him. His activity and relationships, and you know, his blessing to you. You know, in other words, there's always relationship with Krishna, and there's also relationships between and among devotees. That's there too, and we see that in so many of the pastimes. You know, because why not? Why not? We're all part and parcel of Krishna. We have minute qualities of Krishna. Krishna, Radha and Krishna's relationship emanates, you know, complete love, which emanates through all the universes. And so we see little parts of it. So even this material world, you know, we catch little glimpses of that love. Like Prabhupada said, the most pure relationship in the material world is usually between a parent and a child. Like a mother and a child, because it's very, why? Because it's very unconditional, right? In other words, it's there's no motive. The mother will take care of the child regardless, even give up their life for the child. And that's kind of the quality of spiritual relationships. But there's not motivation. One just has out of pure love, attraction, spontaneously for the other person. In the spiritual world, the center of all of those relationships is Krishna. And that makes everyone happy. And fortunately, Krishna has some very unique abilities. Being God, he's able to expand himself unlimitedly. So he has unlimited relationships with every single living entity, every one of us, with every living entity, every blade of grass, everyone. So it's a, how can this happen? We can't. It's called the Chinta Shakti, his inconceivable potencies. It's a Chinta. But with the material mind, we cannot understand how Krishna can do this. But somehow or another, he's able to connect with every single jiva, every living entity, have a relationship with them. And he's just waiting for us to put this material world aside and through chanting the holy name and realizing the holy name of the Lord to start to redevelop our relationship with him. You start to become attracted, to have some attachment to Krishna and to Krishna's devotees. Everything connected with Krishna is spiritual. So we worship Krishna, also Krishna's devotees. It's all transcendental. Krishna's pastime. If we remember Krishna's pastimes, we remember Krishna's places where he appeared. All the same. It all has that transcendental quality. And thus, when we associate with the Supreme Pure, we become purified. And we partake of that same spiritual energy. So, okay, I want to end with a very nice verse and purport from, I think it's Adi Lila 2.2. You'll know. Let me know if it's the right one. I think it's Adi 2.2. Translation. Oh, my most merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectaring Ganges water of your transcendental activity flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue. Beautifying these waters are the lotus flowers of singing, dancing, and loud chanting of Krishna's holy name, which are the pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees. These devotees are compared to swans, ducks, and bees. The river's flowing produces a melodious sound that gladdens their ears. And the purport to the prophet says, people from all parts of the world must call for the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are compared to swans swimming around the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or bees humming around his lotus feet in transcendental pleasure, searching for honey. The dryness of material happiness cannot be moistened by so-called philosophers who cry for Brahman, liberation, and similar dry speculative objects. The urge of the soul proper is different. The soul can be solaced only by the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and its many bona fide devotees, who never leave the lotus feet of the Lord, become imitation Mahaprabhus, but cling to his lotus feet like bees that never leave a honey-soaked lotus flower. Lord Chaitanya's movement of Krishna consciousness is full of dancing and singing about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. It is compared herein to the pure water of the Ganges, which are full of lotus flowers. The enjoyers of these lotus flowers are the pure devotees, who are like bees and swans. They chant like the flowing of the Ganges, the river of the celestial kingdom. The author desires such sweetly flowing waves to cover his tongue. He humbly compares himself to materialistic persons who always engage in dry talk from which they derive no satisfaction. If they were to use their dry tongues to chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As exemplified by Lord Chaitanya, they would taste sweet nectar and enjoy life. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Is there a question or comment you might have?
Thanks, Prabhu, for a very nice class. My question is, someone who is chanting the holy name without knowing anything, you know, just thinking something and just chanting holy name, and someone who is consciously chanting, both will reach to the same destination, or is there any difference?
Put the mic a little below. I think it's muffled a little. Okay. Yeah,
so someone, can you hear me now? So someone who is chanting consciously, and someone who is not chanting consciously,
yeah,
would they reach the same destination, or is there any difference in both?
So you're saying, sure, the same result or different result?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the result is there, one way or the other, and that was what the story of Ajamil exemplified. That consciously or unconsciously, the result is there from chanting Hare Krishna. Now, obviously, there's different results, and if one wants the highest results, then obviously if one is chanting consciously, you know, with the prayerful mood of wanting to serve Krishna, then one's progress will be faster. You know, in other words, if one chants Hare Krishna at all in any way, their process has begun. Their process back to Godhead is there. But it's kind of a question of how long will it take us? How many lifetimes? You know, so the more consciously we're chanting, the more deliberately and the more focused, and also, I mean, it's a long, complex subject. There's other things like offenses, not committing offenses against the holy name. You know, all those things are sort of part of things that can inhibit our progress, you know. So, but if one is sincerely chanting, one will make progress. But now, all of us probably chant a little bit unconsciously sometimes, right? I mean, I'll admit, there are times when I'm chanting my rounds that my mind drifts off to somewhere else, right? Doesn't that happen? That happens to everyone, you know, until we become very, very pure to that Shuddhanam stage, you know. So that's going to be there. But Krishna sees our sincerity. Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. And, you know, if we're making the attempt and following our spiritual master, then eventually the progress will be there and success will be there.
So, follow-up question is, sometimes we teach, and in India, their parrots can also speak Ram Ram, you know, they teach parrots. So, would parrot also get the same result?
Well, we say same result, they'll get some result, certainly. I mean, you know, because the holy name is pure, it's absolute, it's not different than Krishna, there's always going to be some result. Here's a story. Okay. I was in Washington, D.C. in 1976, Srila Prabhupada was visiting us in the Potomac Temple, and it was the 4th of July, okay? Huge, huge thing. It was the bicentennial of the country, 200 years, from 1776 to 1976. Srila Prabhupada was there, and he heard there was going to be a huge celebration of fireworks, that, you know, down at the, you know, with the mall area where the Capitol and everything is. I said, oh, let's go. Okay, sounds fun. So we all jumped into cars. We had this big caravan. We're all following Prabhupada out in the, you know, first there's one van that's full of lots of devotees, brahmacharis, having a big, huge kirtan. Then there's Srila Prabhupada's car, and then we're all kind of behind. Now, if you know Washington, D.C. or not, overlooking over on the Virginia side is the George Washington Parkway. And a lot of people, and the thing is, it's high, and so it, you know, it's such a mess down there, there's so much traffic, that thousands of people were sort of along this parkway to see the fireworks, okay? And they're out there, what do people do on the 4th of July, especially young people sitting around all afternoon? They're drinking, they're getting intoxicated, right? Okay, so the traffic is bad, we're going slowly along, kirtan is going like crazy, you know, and you know, a lot of people are like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, all these young people intoxicated, they're all imitating the chanting. And we went down there finally, Prabhupada saw a couple, he said, ah, that's enough, let's go home. He wasn't that impressed. So we went back, and then Prabhupada said, the best thing was all of those young people who were chanting. He said, even if they were just making fun of us, even if it was an imitation, even if they were intoxicated, they are gaining eternal benefit by chanting the holy name. That's a very powerful lesson we have there. And so, yeah, are they pure devotees? Of course not. You know, they've got a long way to go. But they've begun. They've begun the process. And that's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. That's why they would say he's the most magnificent, the most merciful. Is it just given out to everyone, regardless of qualification or disqualification?
Yeah. Thank you, Bill.
Okay, anyone else? Okay. Thank you very much.